referee is reaching into their pocket. What is that card gonna be? Oh, it's a red card. That can mean only one thing. It is time for the Get Off My Pitch podcast. I am your host, Eric Paisley. With me tonight is...
John Brennig.
You know, you can only play 45 minutes of soccer. Maybe that's not enough to win. John, how are you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Beautiful weekend.
Would you like to talk about... Yeah, would you like to talk about the last soccer match that was played here in Nashville against Philadelphia Union?
No. Could we talk about the weather instead? I don't know.
You're on, so you now have to... You're contractually obligated to talk about that. We will talk about who the hardest working player was during that match, the most valuable player, the best goal. We'll, of course, break it down for you on some uncomfortable questions after the 2-1 loss to the Union. John will share some key stats. We will tell you who or what needs to get off our pitch. John, gut check time. What did you think of that loss?
Again, could we have just played 45 minutes and it was fine? You know?
Yeah.
It was... That first half was good. I would argue, and maybe we'll talk about more, that might have been the best 45 we've played this year. Mm-hmm. Again.
No, I agree. No, I'll back that.
Second best and second runner-up will probably be the first half against Charlotte, where we... almost went in with a 2-0 lead till we gave up that stupid goal at the end. I think it was the best. We looked good. We looked great. And then the second half happened, and 5 or 6 minutes into that, it just started not going our way, and we didn't adjust, and things broke down, and it was not pretty. The things that were working didn't work, and we never made it adequate changes to adapt, and so it went south. Yeah.
Yeah, I watched the match, and I got to tell you, I wish I could have that second 45 minutes back in my life. Everything seemed to go wrong, and I discredit the Union. They made several adjustments at halftime. Jim Curtin, right, is the coach of the Union. Jim Curtin is a good coach. Yeah. He's not going to, you know, they are a successful franchise. They're a successful club for a reason. Mm-hmm. It's not an accident, and, you know, they adjusted and they beat us.
Yeah.
And, that's just bottom line what I feel about the match. All right. So let's, in the context of speaking of some positive things before we dive into what went wrong in the second half, who was the hardest working player in your book?
I'm going to give it to Sam. Sam was, in my opinion, working quite hard. I think in the last two games prior to this, the last three total, you've seen him drop into some deeper positions, occasionally show up maybe where you wouldn't typically expect a striker, but in a Gary system striker, you kind of would, you know what I mean? I mean, we've seen Teal do some of that. You know, he's popped up in some positions to help move the ball forward. But I mean, he scored a goal. There was another header that was really close. The defender like barely eked him out to kind of redirect it. There were a couple. Sam had some great opportunities and looked bright. I mean, like watching him the last two games, I feel like it's kind of one of the lone bright spots in this of like, okay, Sam scored two goals in two games. This is the striker that we've wanted for a while. And he is now tied, still hasn't passed, but is tied with Teal for the most goals for a striker on NSC. But I mean, this is what we've talked about. We've always wanted a guy to do this and he's doing the thing, which is awesome. And I think he's working hard to make that happen. There's other issues that we're not winning, but mad props to him. He's looking great out there. I don't think he's quite the MVP because, again, he's a little bit on an island having to make things work and, you know, you're dependent on those around you. But I think Sam's working his butt off.
So. I got to give it to Alex again, just on sheer work rate. The amount of running he does and being stuck there trying to fill in for Shaq Moore on that side, it was a big ask. And Alex did okay. He obviously struggled. He obviously struggled, but Alex is the kind of guy you tell him to go do something, he does it. Like he picks up whatever assignment he's given and he gives it his all in his side and his hip and his shoulder and his head and his
and one day we're gonna get that butt goal. We are gonna get I don't know that we've done that before, but I mark it down, podcast fan.
Is that a
prop bet? One day there will be an Alex Wheel booty goal and it will break the internet and all of our fandom, but it will happen.
That will be the day that I will.
He may just retire instantly and just be like, sub me off. I'm done. This is all I've ever wanted to do.
I will be telling you you're right I'm going to be telling you, you were right a lot tonight, and I believe that that will happen at some point. I agree.
It will be a great day.
That's who my, yeah, that was my hardest working. No, but seriously, the commentators on the broadcast mentioned it several times. Mm. I think that, again, I don't think he's suited to that position. He did it because he had to.
He's the only guy we have that does that. Yeah, that is one of our short positions, unfortunately. Yeah, it's the reality of where we are.
Oh, every position is short. We only had a few subs.
Well,
we didn't even have a bench.
I'm talking
we'll talk about that. All right, MVP for you,
Jacob Schaffelberg. He assisted on both goals last week. He assisted this week. Honestly, Valère did. So for all of you, Valère Shabilla from Pharmaceutical Podcast and Broadway Sports and, doing that, you should go check out on his Twitter. He did his Film Fridays. He did it on Jacob and it was good. And we've talked about it and other people's announcers have talked about that. Jacob has tried to improve beyond just a speed merchant and he has his crossings gotten better. We saw the goals against Miami. Jacob has improved overall as a player. And I think that we're seeing some of the rewards of that. And so again, I talked about, it's hard to give Sam the MVP because he's kind of dependent on those around him. But in this case, Jacob's delivering. He's the one delivering to him. So we're starting to see some of that. And I mean, if you think about it, where I think 8 games is technically a quarter of the way through the season. But if you had to ask me right now, I think Jacob's the MVP of the year with the way he's playing and contributing. He's taken a huge step up. And I think the last 2 games has really shown it again, plus the Miami game, which was technically, in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. But I think he's done that. And I think he is. I mean, he was the MVP because he made that happen. And because we were in that three in the back with 2 wing backs, he also had to go back and do a lot more defending than he usually does. He usually gets to pass that off to Dan and the midfielders a little more. And he still delivered as well on that, unlike the last time we had that little coverage gaffe that ended in a header.
I think back to your comment last week. Are we overly dependent on him? I'm going to throw it back to you. Are we overly dependent on him?
I have it right here in my notes next to this to bring that up about I kind of think we might be. And again, I feel like having Shaq on the other side makes a difference because even though Shaq is not playing as forward, he comes up, he helps with crosses, he makes a present, and I feel like he strengthens the right side as a whole. Without him, yes, I think we're kind of one-dimensional and dependent on Jacob. With Shaq, it gives us a little more options, but with the way our midfield is playing, yes, I think this reinforced that position, unfortunately.
So. Yeah, I still got to give it to Sam because, again, I'm a homer for Sam. But, without Sam, we don't have an offense because we're going to maybe ask a preemptive, uncomfortable question. Where was Hani Mukhtar in all of that last night?
He was on the field.
I saw him occasionally. Sometimes.
He tried to draw a couple fouls and didn't get any of the whistles, as usual. Not blaming the refs.
He seems to be going to ground quite easily. Yeah. And I think the referees, especially Victor Rivas, the last night's referee, he just doesn't care. Like he looked right at Hani one time and just said, get up.
I think one of the best things Hani did was near the very end, he got tripped at the top of the box, like they pulled on his shoulder, or whatever. He stumbled, kept going, and almost made something out of the effort and still didn't draw the whistle, but he kept going and almost made something out of it instead of just going to ground. So. There's a little of both sides on that one, but
best goal. It's going to be Sam's goal.
I'll vote for that, Eric.
I think we have exhausted our positivity. Yeah. So we're gonna
I will say this. If you watch it, Sam went right between both the players. It was a brilliant move. It is a move again to heap a little more praise on Sam. Cause you call him your MVP. I don't know that Teal pulls that off. Jonder maybe pulls it off 50% of the time. Made it look easy. I'm just saying Sam is the guy we've wanted to do that and be the target man that's prototypical Gary. So I feel like Sam, we finally gotten that number 9 who's delivering. We just, we have some more subject matter to discuss in the next segment.
Yep. All right. Yeah. On that note, we'll take a break. When we come back, we are going to tell you, we're going to ask some uncomfortable questions. John's going to share some key stats, and then we're going to tell you who or what needs to get off our pitch. Stay with us. We are back. John, I am going to kick us off tonight with uncomfortable questions. Sharing a bit of news last week that you and I had just briefly talked about on the interwebs about the Athletic reporting that LAFC is finalizing a deal to sign France's all-time scoring leader, Olivier Giroud. Just besides being incredibly handsome, maybe that might be my get off my pitch later. I'm not spoilery anything. He is a 37-year-old wonder of nature that somehow has not aged in the last decade. Yeah. However, he is still 37 years old. He is now coming to MLS. So my uncomfortable question is, are we just a retirement league permanently now? Is that just it? We're just done. Are we just kind of saying, you know what? We're just a retirement league. Here we are. Enjoy the show.
Yeah. I mean, I think it goes back to something we've talked about before. We can get younger talent, but it's going to be talent that comes from like the championship, maybe Serie A, like a mid team, not Juventus or Milan.
No.
Like lower down, like Fiorentina or something. Maybe even occasional Atletico player, like maybe in their early 30s. We could get some of those because they're not the top notch. But if you're talking about someone who plays at one of the Manchester teams or Liverpool or Bayern or PSG or Barca, no, we aren't going to get those guys till they retire. I think what Barcelona in Fort Lauderdale project has proven is that we can pay and bring over that talent, but it is going to be on that upper edge. So I think the league has gotten better overall, but yes, we're still, if it's a high profile player, they're only going to really come here when they retire or when they're of that, you know what I mean? We can get some of those lower levels. I mean, you look at Surge. Surge is a 26-year-old. They were up in the Premier League. They're flirting with relegation. Hopefully they don't get relegated. So technically he came from a Premier League side. It's just one of those lower tables. And he's in his prime at 26. So you can do it. You know what I mean? We can do this. It's just not going to be when you're looking at those top two or three teams, the teams that consistently dominate that play in the Champions League. No, if it's a team playing in the Europa League, maybe we might get some talent for that a little closer to a prime age, if that makes sense. So yes, we're still but we're making progress.
I think most of our talent is going to come from Central and South America. Mm. I think I have to admit that I was wrong even about what I said about bringing in talent from mid-tier and even lower tier European clubs. I think that everyone's dream is to play in Europe.
Yeah.
Walker Zimmerman is on the record. Yeah. He wants to go. Everyone's dream is to play in Europe. I don't think anyone's dream is to play in MLS unless it's a stepping stone to get to play at a bigger club in Europe. I think maybe we just embrace that. I'm feeling a little bit grouchy about the whole thing. I was watching Miami and I was looking at Campagna and Alba and Busquets. And I know I've hammered on about this, but I'm doing the math and I say, do they afford all those players? And I know the MLS deal with Messi is a separate thing. It doesn't matter. Take him out. Put him aside. All the other players they have. I'm sorry.
I'll put it this way. I think I was talking with some people. We were complaining in the Discord. I put it this way. Those players may be technically on paper fitting into a slot as correctly as they can and being paid salaries that align to that slot. However, you cannot make me believe that that is 100% of the compensation that they are taking home for this whole affair.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So in other words, yes. Busquets might be making, I don't know what he's supposed to be making. Let's say it's at 10 million. I have no idea. I haven't looked.
Whatever.
Let's say he's supposed to make 10 million and he's a DP. Great. Okay. He's doing that technically on paper. Is that all he's taking home from this? I don't believe it for a second. You know what I mean? So
Well, and look at those players. They're all in their mid-30s or late 30s.
They're in their late 30s, yeah. They're all 36, 37.
Yeah, I mean, it's all retirement scheme for them too. I don't know. I guess I'm really down on the league tonight, and maybe I shouldn't be, but it's been eating away at me.
Yeah.
All right, John, hit me with your uncomfortable question.
So you talked about, you concurred with me that first half was one of our best halves of football. Mm-hmm. And again, to me, I propose that the first half of the Charlotte game where we went up 2-0 was probably our second best, or 2-1 again. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a good stretch.
It was. So those were both good stretches. I was looking at that and I realized, in both of those, We had good pressure, but the funny thing is, you know what both of those halves had in common? We outpossessed the opponents. So we outpossessed Philly 56-44. And at Charlotte, we had 61% of the ball. Now, as you know, Nashville is not a possession team, right? We had those games last year. We had like 35% and we still trounced teams 2-0 because we defended, we counterattacked, we pounced, we done. To me, looking at those two halves being our most successful halves where we had more of the ball, I feel like it's at least it's screaming to me. The stats are trying to tell me that I think we're a different team. In other words, we're playing better when we have the ball and having more success. Gary's style is to defend and counterattack, you know, classic mid-90s U.S. men's national team, right? You know what I mean? Counterattack ball. It's not quite as painful as that sometimes.
Sorry.
But yeah. But Gary ball is not a possession-based thing, but we look better when we're doing that. Now, again, you can point out the midfield is still very sloppy. To me, I see players succeeding when we play that way. Let me put it this way. I see players succeeding when we have some possession and playing this way and trying to attack. Has the roster just kind of evolved past Gary Ball philosophy? Like, I feel like we've somehow outpaced the philosophy and grown beyond it, and that's part of our problem. That's my very convoluted, might be a question in there to you.
That is an interesting question. That's actually more of an interesting question. I'm going to have to think about that. I've been having a couple of thoughts around something we talked about previously, which is Gary out, then what?
Right.
So, okay, well, at least we give in to all those folks on Slack or whatever and say, we fire Gary tomorrow. Okay. All right. And my whole thing has always been, okay, then who are you going to get? Who's your big name that's going to come in and revolutionize the club and get us that championship, right? Give me your name. Of course, it's crickets. Like, it's...
I mean, the only name being thrown around is Jose Mourinho, which I don't believe is realistic, personally, because he's talked about he wants to do national teams. But what I'm saying is that's how... And then there's also Bruce Arena,
so
if he's approved by MLS, but I don't want that jazz either.
I'm sorry. I don't take that stuff seriously.
No, I don't. But that's what I'm saying. When you ask them, there is no
answer.
Put crap
out like that very seriously. Yeah, but if you think... I was thinking about Johnson, you know, who had left Nottingham Forest or was kicked out after, you know, they really... bad term. It's like, what if he came in? And then I realized he and Gary are the same coach. It's the same coach.
Yeah.
And so there's just that cut of English style. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe English. Don't know if it's continental, but maybe we'll just say it's UK, old school UK football. That's just more, you know, counterattacking, right? Or down the edge or down the wings. And I just don't see, I don't know. I don't have a lot of commentary past that, but your question, I'm getting around to your question. I think it's prompting me to think, you know, I think you may be onto something because it seems like both Shaq and Mill and Liao before he was hurt were being asked to dribble the ball up more to the center of the field. Maybe bringing possession more to centralize our offense. You know, we go down the wings, obviously, as you pointed out quite rightly, too much on Schaffelberg. And it's only on one wing, too. It's just on the left side.
Well, I mean, obviously the other side's Mwiel, who has his benefits, but is not Jacob Schaffelberg. So, you know.
No.
I gave him a little.
But let's say even Shaq being there, Shaq's being asked to do more. And he has been. He's the poor guy has rung at least two, maybe three off the par. I mean he's even been shooting.
Yeah.
I think that you're on to something with that question. I actually kind of have to think a little more about it. I think it's possible. I think that's where the players want to go offensively, but I think defensively things are falling apart.
Yes. Let's go with that. Things are falling apart. Yes. That's not a question, but it's a prompt and I'll go with it. Yes. It's interesting to me because I feel like to me, having possession and having good halves points to two things. One, when we have the ball, they can't score, right? So it means we don't have to defend because our defense has been horrible. So perhaps our possession is just masking the fact that our defense is bad and we don't have to defend. But I do, I do wonder because, I mean, you see, I mean, Godoy is of that style and Panama plays more possession-based. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
They do.
They would like to do that and dribble. You know what I mean? We have some passers in there. I mean, Drew and Sean came from the Red Bull things, which is all about getting the ball back as quick as possible. And then going around and kind of going slowly piece by piece attacking. They're not a lot of direct threat, you know, route one. So I'm just saying, I feel like we have a lot of pieces that could play a different style. Gary asks them not to, and that's what we do. But you see some of it kind of coming out of the pitch, perhaps, despite that coaching. But yeah, back to the defense thing. I think we're going to – to me, that's the biggest question overall, because we are coached by Gary Smith. And if we do not have a good defense, we are not a Gary Smith team, and there is some sort of disconnect and something's wrong. I think the biggest thing you saw with this game is McNaughton, who might not have been 100%, but he looked good to me. I couldn't tell if he was 100%.
He looked good for a while. Yeah.
And Bauer started. Jack Mayer was not even in the starting lineup. And as far as I know,
Bauer struggled too.
Bauer struggled too. I think he is at best our fourth choice. But I think Mayer struggled so bad, he didn't even make the roster. So I feel like there are, unless we get healthy back, there are red flags. And I know Zimmerman has talked about maybe wanting to be one of the overagers at the Olympics. If we're stuck with that, man, this season could be brutal, because I don't know what is wrong, but our defense is just, people are not in the right places. That last goal was mind-blowing, because you saw them set up. Everyone was in front, and Gazdag was already behind them. Dan saw it. I think Bauer saw it. And when the play went off, Dan went up for the header, but I don't know if you may ask him. I don't believe the fact that he was marking Gazdag. He was just going up to get the header. I don't think he knew. I think he thought someone else was covering Gazdag. I think someone else thought how they handed off to Dan. That was an absolute miscommunication, and all on just defensive organization that just went to crap.
Yeah, I think that's well said. All right, John, hit us with some key stats.
So I talked a little bit about possession in this game. I think one of the other the stats that stood out to me is we had 8 corners in this game. And some of them look dangerous. I'm not going to harp on there were some dangerous looking ones. There were also some mediocre ones. And again, I personally hate Hani taking corner kicks, but that's another matter. But Eric, do you know how many of those corner kicks came in the first half? 7 of them.
Was it 5?
7 of the 8.
I thought it was like 5.
No, 7 of the 8. 7. And the one we had in the second half was in the 82nd minute. So we went almost 40 minutes without a corner kick. The possession, those corner kicks, to me, that's the telling stat of how things changed between the first and second half. We were down there pushing. Mm. We earned corner kicks, whether it was Jacob racing past a guy, whether it was a cross that got knocked out, a shot that got deflected. Doing that, when you have them, you know, you're getting corners, eventually something's going to break. You're putting the offensive pressure on. So again, even though we technically only had 56% of the possession, the fact that we had 7 corners kind of shows that we were actively possessing in the attacking end and trying and, you know, putting ourselves in situations to succeed. Whereas in the second half, 1 corner kick. And I think there might've been 1 free kick, a foul. I think it was a foul that Wheel took on the far right side. And that was about it. So to me, that's even more indicative of, we had less possession, not drastically at 46%, but we did not do as much with it. It didn't produce as much. We weren't getting those dangerous chances. So that's kind of that key stat to me that told some of the underlying tale of that game.
Yeah, so you got to get – I think your stat is really good because it gets past possession as a pure stat. It gets more into a little more about the dynamic of the actual dynamics of the game.
Yep. Like another fun fact that
– interesting way to look
another at. Another fun stat that FootMob just had prior to this game was bringing up. We haven't kept a clean sheet in the last 7 matches in all competitions. That is – that's not Nashville. No, sorry, not in all competitions, in MLS, because the Mocha games. Not a clean sheet in 7 games. That's not Gary Ball again.
Well, speaking of not Gary Ball, why don't you tell me who or what needs to get off your pitch tonight?
Well, Eric, did you know that in addition to our game, there was a big party downtown this week about soccer? Premier League Live was here in town, yes. And they were hosting. First of all, I would like everyone to know that Nashville set a record for attendance for Premier League Live with over 15,000 people. I think you had to register. Like, I think it's a register and you like get a thing and you show up, but I think there were probably more people milling about. But anyway, 15,000 people. It's about, you know, half the size of a Judo just filled, which is cool. But awesome turnout. In every video I saw of it, there was somewhere in the crowd you could pick out most likely an NSC jersey, maybe another MLS one, but a lot of Premier League jerseys and a lot of people supporting it. So that's awesome. My get off my pitch came to, I saw someone tweet out looking at this like, well, this is great. You have all these Premier League fans, but none of them are MLS fans. I'm like, I'm sorry. Did you watch any of the broadcast?
Excuse me?
Because first of all, I saw plenty of Nashville jerseys. And second of all, you know, if you went and interviewed, almost all those people had a second team here. Like I know a ton of people I saw on Twitter and talking about, oh yeah, I went down there, but I wore my Everton jersey for the game. Or, you know, I'm wearing my Liverpool jersey for today, Sunday's game between Liverpool and Man United. They're like, oh, going down there wearing Man United jersey. But it's like, this is an NSC Twitter account. I know who this guy is. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So those people can get off our pitch because, first of all, we have dispelled the rumors that soccer doesn't work in the South. Look at Nashville. You know, this is a yellow card to all those people who have said soccer doesn't work in the South. Look at the attendance records in Charlotte, Atlanta, Nashville. We've talked about this. But look at the turnout for Premier League stuff. It's not even a game you can go attend. It costs you, you know, $1,000 to get over there to go see a thing. Like, people care about soccer in the South. So a mild yellow card to those guys, but a yellow card to the red guy on Twitter who was like, oh yeah, none of these are MLS fans. These are just, you know, shipped in people from all around the country. I'm like, no. That is not the case. These are plenty of MLS fans. Soccer is alive and well in Nashville. Well, soccer fan, I should say.
That's a really good one. I will be traveling to Europe in June. Specifically, I'll be in London the first week in June. And I don't know this for sure. I may have to VAR myself. I think that MLB, Major League Baseball, is going to be playing one of the first exhibition games in London while I'm over there. Now, I think it's going to be the White Sox. I support that team. Yeah, so
aren't they also really bad?
Yeah, they're terrible this year. But again, this is not a baseball podcast. This is a soccer podcast. My point is that I am not going to go watch a baseball game in London. I am going to try to go to West Ham. I think we're going to try to go to a West Ham game. I think we're going to be staying near West Ham. But I just, you know, I remember I replied via the podcast to NSC Stats about, you know, the first, my European club. I think it's great. But I think that people need to get their head squarely out from their behind when it seems most logical that the people that love soccer and support an EPL club will also support their local club in Nashville. I mean, or even an MLS club if they come from another city like Atlanta.
Or maybe even Cincinnati. I mean, we talk about there's tons of options out there, USL, USL League One, et cetera. So, I mean,
yeah.
I know tons of people who still follow those teams, so yeah.
And if you live in Nashville, you can follow Appalachian FC with the Squatchies. Yeah. All right. But you know what? I tell you who needs to get off my pitch, and that is the Comcast Corporation, because for the last hour, I've tried to log into my own account, and apparently the entire login auth system is down. So if you're already logged into your account, you're okay. But if you were enjoying a series that I was mentioning earlier to you, and you wanted to, and you got kicked out of your account and had to log back in, you can't. So you can't watch it. And so Comcast can get a big fat red card from me. This is going to be this is going to be a perennial one, I'm afraid. This broadcast doesn't get taken down, but Comcast, you can get off my pitch. On that bombshell, we were going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to tell you who we're playing next, when we're playing them. We'll tell you how we did on our score predictions, what we think the score is going to be next time, so stay with us. We are back. All right, John, let's say you are a soccer fan, and you wanted to tell us who your EPL club is and why they need to get off, and why the rival team in the EPL needs to get off your pitch, how could you do that?
Well, if the wind is right, smoke signals work pretty well. You could also go to Twitter or X, but I'm still always going to call it Twitter because, and look us up at @GOMP_pod, or you could go to YouTube and look us up at Get Off My Pitch. I can't speak today.
We broadcast live at 8 p.m. on Sundays when it's a soccer week. Mm-hmm. We cover the Nashville soccer scene. We also cover Vanderbilt and Lipscomb on occasion.
And we'll also talk a little bit. Team dabbles, but usually only if
we'll throw in some. We'll talk about the U.S. national team when our guys are playing. Until then, John, who are we playing next and when are we playing them?
We get to travel to Fort Lauderdale, warm and sunny, you know, in April. It's not a bad time for that. And play Miami, you know, Messi et al. But it is not next week. It's in 2 weeks. So we have this next weekend, the 13th and 14th off. We will be playing on Saturday the 20th. So we have a hiatus. Honestly, it's a good time coming. Gary speculated that Walker could possibly make the lineup today. I was dealt as Gary speak. I think it was optimistic, but you know, we have a lot of injuries. Shaq's been out for a couple games with a training injury. Tyler Boyd's been out. Zimmerman's been out for a while. We all know Leal was supposed to be on track to be back possibly for the Miami game. So the good news is we might be somewhat out of the woods with his injury, and Gary can choose a true starting best 11. Great. We'll still see, because we're going to come back and go against Miami. Now, I'm not sure if they play this next week while we're off, but still, depending on how things are, I don't think there are any other competitions coinciding with this, as in, Copa America or anything like that. So we may be in a full strength Miami side, and that is always just fun.
Are there any, we used to do this during when I was more coherent and a better producer of this program. Is there any player in particular on Miami's team we need to watch that's maybe really good, or someone that we should be watching?
You know, Drake Callender has earned some calls for U.S. national team in goal. He's played
pretty well. Okay, yeah. That's cool. Yeah. He is.
And he did score a penalty against us as a goalie. That was,
Seriously speaking, he's actually pretty good. I watched him last week. He's really good.
He's one of the few players he and Robert Taylor are the two I kind of respect from the team.
Yeah, Robert Taylor for sure.
They are good, and now that they've been given an opportunity with really good retirement league players around them, have been able to shine, and I'm like,
yeah, they really
got
have
some talent there. Yeah. So once those retirement league players leave in 2 years, they might be able to be there to salvage the embers of what's left.
Right. And I think a lot, and I know I've already gone on record, like when he was with Atlanta, I think a lot of Tata Martino when he was, to even Atlanta, I've always had great admiration for him. And so, he's a classy guy. He's a class act. And it's, that's another member of that squad that I like. But yeah, we will try to talk about Messi, but it's more in the context, will he play or not? Give me your percentage.
I think it's looking.
Will he or will he not play? And if he does, how much of the game will he play?
So for full factor here, he's come back from injury. He did play this past week. They do have a game against Kansas City next week, but I don't think there are any CONCACAF Champions Cup games. So as far as I know, it's just those 2 weeks off. So he should be on a full week's rest. I would presume he starts and plays. I would think their ideal case would be to only play him for part of that time. Oh, actually, no. Okay, I stand corrected. They have a game against Monterrey this Wednesday. Then they have Kansas City on the 14th. So they do have a bit of a packed schedule, and Messi did play already. So Monterrey's up 2-1 on that, by the way, in the Champions Cup. So he could possibly be coming off, but it's still a full 6 days rest beforehand. So I would expect we probably see a full strength Miami lineup unless something happens. I would say 80% chance that we see him. And
80%. Yeah. This has been the Messi report, weather report, Messi weather report with John Brenning. I did see, I don't want to talk about too much gossip on the internet, but I did see that Monterrey's coach was talking a little shade at Messi, and it got him in a little bit of trouble, both with his own fan base.
Well, I mean, that's gonna,
he basically said that Messi's just another player. And I'm like, dude, don't go there. Like, don't try that.
That's just shooting yourself in the foot, man.
All that does, especially for someone like Messi, is just makes him mad. And you just don't do that, man. Yeah. That's not the way to handle that. All right, John, let's talk about our score predictions from last week. All right, let's run it down. So I had predicted, I had correctly predicted a loss.
Yeah.
I had 2-3 Philly. And I think that I still stand by my prediction. I felt like it could have gone that way, but we played a lot better in the first half than I expected. You had predicted a win, 2-1. You got the right score line, just the wrong way.
So,
All right. Any any thoughts on the upcoming match against Inter Miami? What are you thinking?
I mean, I don't know. Let's just go with a 2-2 draw, because that seems to be our most common score line, and it gives us chalupas. Road chalupas at that. I don't know. Yeah, I'm just going to throw out 2-2 because I honestly, it's hard to predict. Will Messi be recovered after another stint of a week of busy games?
Right.
If Walker's back, I feel like I get a boost of confidence in our defense of Walker and McNaughton back there. And if Shaq's back too, I actually feel somewhat optimistic. So, and we saw what Jacob did to them in the CONCACAF Champions Cup, the first one. Again, this MLS game doesn't matter as much. The second one, they stomped us pretty hard. So like I feel like with some of that stuff, I'm like, yeah, you could convince me maybe we have a good performance, but it's still a road game. We're probably going to, the best case scenario is a tie. So I'm going to go best case scenario, 2-2 tie.
I think it's going to be a 2-4 Inter Miami win. I think it's 2-2 up into the 80th minute, and then Messi comes on and scores two goals.
Ooh.
I think that's my through line.
Hyper specific. I'll go with it.
Yep. Yeah, I think it's 80. It's 80. He scores one when he steps on the field, like 30 seconds after, and he scores one in like at the very like 90 minute plus six.
Yeah,
I think that's how it's gonna go.
Sounds good.
All right, John. Thank you at home for joining us.
We have
thank
one
you
more.
Across the show. Oh yeah.
I mentioned last.
Week oh yeah. Oh yeah. What did we get wrong?
Games,
sorry.
Back to back home.
What
games.
What did we get wrong?
Because I was confused. We had this week's was a home game, but next week is on the road. I don't know why I said back to back home games, and we have a layoff week. So I don't know. I just misspoke. Otherwise, I had no real notes on that. So
I'm going to live VAR myself. It's Steve Cooper was the former skipper there at Nottingham Forest. Not Brendan Johnson. Brendan Johnson.
Oh, he was the old Liverpool coach.
Star players.
And, yeah. But he's also
Brendan
a coach
Johnson
now,
was
right.
Yeah. Yeah. He's also a coach, but he never coached at Nottingham Forest.
Oh, okay.
That was Steve Cooper.
Got
Steve
it.
Cooper. No, Brendan Johnson coached at the Rangers. And so I had Rangers in my head. And see, this is why you shouldn't have more than one squad that you support, because then your coaches all get mixed up. And anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I had to live VAR myself. John, thank you so much for putting up with me. Sure. Thank you for listening at home.
Yep.
Have a good night, and we will talk. We'll talk soon.
In 2 weeks. See you then.
2 weeks.